Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of Hebrews in the first chapter. We've covered the first six verses, so let me read those again, just to where we can be reminded of the context. Folks, I can't say this enough, but repetition is at the soul of learning something, okay? When you repeat something, when you read it over and over, when you hear it over and over, when you meditate upon it, when you take it before the Lord, you'll be amazed at what He reveals. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says this, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Verse 3, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me"? Verse 6, and when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "And let all the angels of God worship Him." So in the previous episodes, we talked a good bit about what's going on in these verses. Go back and check that out if you didn't hear them. Also, there is so much more to be gleaned here, folks. During these times together, we're just hitting really, really the high points of things. That third verse of how Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature, and how Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power, you can dwell upon that the rest of your life. Seriously, there's so much to be understood from that. So verse 7, let's press on. Verse 7 really through verse 13 are all quotes from the Old Testament, from several portions of the Old Testament. And it's given us insight into this relationship of between Jesus and angels. We see in verse 7, what I just read, that the angels of God worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But watch this, verse 7. And of the angels, He says, that means God is saying this of the angel, who makes His angel winds and His ministers a flame of fire. So God is the one who made the angels, and He made them to function and to minister in the way that He desired. Verse 8, but of the Son, God says this. Now listen what He says of the Son. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. Let me read that again, verse 8. But of the Son, He says, and here's the quote from the Old Testament, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. What's interesting about that right there is that God is saying this of the Son, and God says of the Son, your throne, O God. So God, the Father, is calling the Son God and declares that His throne is going to be forever and ever, and that His righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. He's going to have a kingdom that is forever and ever, and His scepter, the sign of the rule and authority, is that of righteousness. He is righteous. Verse 9 continues with another quote. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Boy, again, there's some wild things that you can chase around here, particularly if you go back and look at the cross references, what these things are quoted from quite often. The author of Hebrews is using the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible. Okay. And you can find that we know what verses these come from in the Psalms and et cetera. And when you look at the context there and then see how the Spirit leads the writer to interpret it under the new covenant, there's some amazing things there. We're just going to deal with the basics. The basics are this, that he says, the Lord Jesus loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. God is saying that God, your God, Jesus, God, your God, the Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. What does that word companions mean? Those that are sharing in, ooh, companions, partakers, partners. The Greek word is metikos. Okay? So who are the companions of Jesus? And who are the ones that he's anointed, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions? Probably within the context right here, he's speaking of angels, right? Because he is definitely talking about angels. He is also likely talking about the other divine beings, the Elohim, the other Elohim, that God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are higher than. Even when Jesus took on the form of flesh, for a little while he was made lower than the angels. But when he was resurrected, he was raised above his companions, angels, and other Elohim. Verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. And so the writer here is saying, God has said all this about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said this about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. That's why they're the Old Testament quotes. So he's saying that the Lord is the one who laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. We talked about that earlier, that Jesus is the one that actually spoke creation into existence. And the heavens are the work of your hands. So the foundations, the earth, the heavens, all are the work of the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, they will perish, but you remain. And they all will become old like a garment. In other words, this creation is going to pass by. Now, there's going to be a new creation. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 12, and like a mantle, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to end. All of those folks, all those verses I just read, are quotes from the Old Testament. I mean, just quote after quote after quote. And it's declaring that the Lord is literally going to roll back the heavens like a mantle. Well, when you see other portions of Scripture, that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, last two verses of the first chapter, verse 13. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Remember, God the Father said that to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. So the bulk of this entire chapter is the writer giving understanding of the role of angels and the fact that Jesus is better than angels. What's the main role of the angels? Last verse, the first chapter. You're familiar with this, but now you know the context better. Verse 14, are they not all, this is angels, ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? What's the role and function of angels? You see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that they're messengers. They come and proclaim a message from God. Here we see that they're ministering spirits sent out to render service. If they're sent out, that means they're sent out from somebody. That would be God, the Most High God, to render service. They're rendering service on behalf of God and rendering service to somebody. Who's that? For the sake of those who will inherit salvation, for believers. Angels are ministering spirits sent out by God to render service from him on behalf and for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Isn't that exciting? But guess what? Jesus is better than the angels. Well, my time's up. We'll talk more about that later. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you again next time. Goodbye.